blessings that we may greet each other this morning on the new day of a new year. Prophet Isaiah spoke these words to Israel in distress. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and that publisheth salvation, and that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. That is our hope and comfort also for this year as we begin together. Thy God reigneth. And then you go back in chapter 51, and three times God says, Hearken to me. Hearken to me, my people, and give ear to me. And lift up your eyes to heaven, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Now with that we can start a new year. So let us stand up together before God, the old majesty, and seek his blessing and receive his blessing this morning. Our help, Lord, is in thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in thee who reigneth over heaven and earth, in thee who keepeth faithfulness to thy word and works, and thee who will never forsake the cause of thy truth. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us together sing with the church of old, Psalter 276, say fervent prayer to the church and her head to fulfill his word upon us and our children. Thou, O Lord, art God alone, everlasting is thy throne. So 276, all verses. restoration of Zion. That's something that Isaiah 60 speaks about in beautiful words. So let's hear God's word from Isaiah 60 this morning, which begins with a call to the church in Babylon. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come, bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency and joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I also will make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within the borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Let these words encourage us now to draw nigh to God in prayer. Lord Jehovah, thou hast called us to hear what thou hast said through Isaiah's mouth many years ago, and speaking still today in our ears. And thou art the hope of all Israel, thy church, thy Zion, thy work, thy delight. Thou art, O God, not only the secret source, thou art the omnipotent security of thy church throughout all this world. Thou art the keeper of thy word. Never hast thou dropped a word to the earth unfulfilled. Thou art a conqueror of evil. The secret and the source of all our hope. And great Lord, as we gather on this morning hour, in the dawn of another year, in the beginning of another decade, which is also relative, for there is no time and years with thee, as it is with us. Thou art the eternal one. And yet we mark this morning, Lord, as a day to come together in prayer before thy great throne. Oh, give us humility, but also faith, to pray with expectation. Especially, Lord, if we just heard what thou spoke in our ears in a chapter that we have read together. And Lord, how long will thou wait? Thou said thou wilt hasten it in thy time. How long, O God? When wilt thou arise and have mercy upon thy Zion, thy church? O God, move us away from being so self-centered about our own little lives, and make us exercise with this large and much more important cause, thy church, thy honor, thy glory, thy name. And may that also this morning, O God, be the gift thou would give us. Prayer to be burdened with the many that don't bow their knees before thee. And what a glorious promise, O God, did we read in these words of this chapter. And when will the time to favor her come? For Lord, we do not need to tell thee. Thou knowest that thy spiritual temple is in ruins. Thou knowest that the churches even in this nation are overtaken by liberalism, by moral relativism, where right and wrong are no more decided by thee, but now decided by us. Thou knowest the hypocrisy Thou knows the name Christianity. And Lord God, Thou knows us here, a small congregation. Thou knows the enemy is bold, courageous, fuming and roaring as he knows his time is short. And Thou knows that our strength is nothing. We are having no power, Lord, to fight against these forces, and especially when Thy people are so divided and so scattered and so astray. And therefore, O blessed Lord, we confess before Thee this morning, we have no power, nor will, nor skill to resist these toxic fumes that penetrate from out of hell into this realm of living. And it creeps into our homes and in our churches and in our souls as well. And therefore, blessed God, we begin this morning by calling upon Thee, O Lord Jesus. Thou parted this earth with the words and the assurance that all power is given unto Thee in heaven and on earth. Even on this place Thou reignest, and through Thee, Thy church and Thy cause and Thy kingdom will be more than conquerors. Though it seems we give way more and more to being conquered. And so, Lord, look upon us in Thy mercy. Visit Thou us with Thy salvation. We have our open scriptures before us, Lord, this morning. And we pray Thee the promise that Thou spoke in this chapter. Fulfill that promise, Lord, to bring sons and daughters from the world into the church. Fulfill that promise, O God, that Thou will draw multitude of strangers, outsiders, to build the walls of Thy church. Lord, we pray that Thou would fulfill the promise, that Thou would make multitudes of enemies into servants of Jesus Christ. There's nothing too hard for Thee. Thou hast done it in the past. We've seen waves of the awakening power of the Holy Spirit bringing thousands out of darkness into the light, uniting the people of God in this country in fervency of prayer and preaching. Lord, Thou hast done it before. Wilt Thou refrain Thyself, Lord, and not visit also this country again, and the churches in this country afresh? O come, O Shepherd of Israel, we plead with Thee, shine Thy face upon us once more, and we shall be saved. Fulfill Thy promises, Lord, hasten Thy coming in these blessings of the times which we need today. Thou hast even said that a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. We are but a little one, Lord. We are just a tiny little group of people here. But Thou can use them, and Thou can multiply them, and Thou can, even out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, children and young, ordain Thy praise and put to shame the boldness and the brazenness of the enemies of Thy kingdom. And O gracious God, as we view this coming year, then we don't know what this year will hold for us and our children here, for our families, for the churches, for this nation, for the world. But we are reminded this morning, Thy God reigneth. We know that Thou holds the future. That all things are in control of Thy almighty hand. And that Thou would lead, Lord, every aspect of our personal lives, our family lives, our church life, our community, our state and nation. Thou rules, and remind us of that throughout this year. Keep us still in the midst of storm, knowing that Thou art God, the mighty one of Jacob, the Savior and Redeemer. And therefore, O God, we do not know what will be good for us and what will be profitable for us. And we may commit that to Thee. And we may indeed trust that Thou wilt do what is right and what is righteous and what is best. And therefore we pray that in all the circumstances and providences, and all the callings and all the gains and the losses we will experience, all the pains and the joys, that Thy name be hallowed. That Thou would glorify Thyself in and through our lives. Thy kingdom may come. That Thy will be done through us also. In being ruled by Thy Spirit, so we may serve Thee joyfully, faithfully, obediently, humbly, cheerfully, in the evil days and the good days, in the better and the worse, in the poverty and in the plenty. And through it all, O God, grant us that faith if we have it not. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. May that faith be given us, O Lord. May that faith be deepened and exercised in us. May it flower in a walk in which Thy glory may not only shine in us, but may shine out of us. The call this morning is arise, shine. And Almighty, we pray, arise Thou within us, so we may arise for Thee. Shine Thou within us, Thy glory, that we may shine for Thee. And so we commit our lives, our families, our circumstances, our needs, our empty places, our sorrows, our sicknesses, our strains, our brokenness, our needs, to Thee, Almighty. To whom else can we come but unto Thee, O living Jesus? We pray, help us to worship Thee in prayer and in praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing Psalm 182. O Zion, 'tis Thy God's command. Notice that word, it's Thy God's command that Thou in strength securely stand. That is the hope. And then the prayer, O God, confirm and strengthen still Thy purpose as in us fulfill. Let's sing all these seven verses of Psalm 182 this morning. no better place this morning to begin a new year than here as we are together at Jesus' feet. There's no better place, congregation, especially when we are facing realities that are not at all encouraging. But let's begin first by thinking about what Isaiah saw in the glory and the majesty and the goodness of the Almighty. The glories he pictures in chapter 60 are really beyond description. So comforting, so reassuring, so majestic and unusual also, and inspiring, and they're meant to be that way for God's children throughout all the ages, particularly also in the circumstances of today. The circumstances of today are United States of America we're living in. With all the radical movements at work to destroy everything that is God's and what is His law. If you read in verse 2 of Isaiah 6, I encourage you to have this chapter open. We're going to look at a lot of these verses this morning. Verse 2 describes 2020. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Darkness in the Bible is a symbol of ignorance. Gross darkness, it says, not just darkness. Gross darkness. It's gross ignorance. And what does ignorance grow? Ignorance grows idolatry. Ignorance grows immorality. Destruction. The original readers of this chapter were facing Babylon. We are today facing New Babylon. The harlot, Revelation speaks about it. The mother of harlots and abominations. You call it Babylon 220. Gross darkness. It's grosser dark today than it was in the days of the first Babylon. Why is that? Because we live in darkness of rejected light. Well, let me repeat that. We live in a darkness of rejected light. Babylon never had light. We were a nation founded upon the principles of God's word. We were given pilgrim fathers who came here with Puritan teaching, which established the start of our nation. We've seen God moving through this nation various times with tremendous revivals. And the gross darkness we have today is therefore grosser and darker because it is against rejected light and labor and love. And indeed, friends, anyone who reads the news will have his shoulders stoop and his back bent. We face a rising tide of corruptions that the world hasn't seen. Yeah, we talk about climate change. And sure, if there will be climate change and if the oceans would rise a couple of inches, that is nothing compared to the rising tide of corruptions that is coming over our nation. And no one is disturbed about that, or at least not enough. Not the press and not enough of our government leaders. And in that context, listen how this chapter starts. Arise. Shine. Notice how this chapter starts? Arise. Shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. God says to these Jewish people there in Babylon, instead of lying down, arise. Get on your feet. Arise. Literally, spiritually. Don't be down. Arise, for there's a future. There's a glorious future ahead. Now, if we live by sight, there's no future ahead. If you live by counting up the facts, if you look at defining the circumstances, there is no future for the church in this nation. But God doesn't ask us to look at the facts this morning. He asks us to look at the truth this morning. He asks us to listen to Him this morning. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is come. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. We are to not live by facts on the ground. We are to live by promises above. God's word. And this chapter is astounding. Secondly, it says shine. Now, you could translate it in various ways, and translators have struggled with that, and you see it in the Dutch version or the English version. But it could be shine, either be bright or be brightened with the light that has come upon you and the glory of God that's risen upon you. Yeah, either one of them are good translations. Be bright or be brightened more. By what? By the light that has come. What light? What light are we talking about? Jesus coming in the world. We just heard that. He's born. Came in the flesh. He hasn't left. He's left physically. He stayed behind in his spirit. That light has come. This world is not only devils. This world is territory of the Holy Spirit. At large, this is His world. Jesus rules here, not the devil. He makes a lot of noise, but He doesn't rule. He does a lot of destruction, but He's not king. Oh, He's king over many people. That's true, but not king over the world. That's Jesus. Arise, shine, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now that's the good news, that Jesus Christ came into the world. And as we see Him in this world, and as we see Him departing, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That's the light, congregation, objectively. But you can also look at it a different way, children of God. The light is come in you. Didn't God begin His good work in you? And if God began His good work in you, what's going to happen to that work? That's going to get finished. From strength to strength, from grace to grace, and finally from grace to glory, it's going to get finished. Arise! Shine! What He has begun, He will not let fall. The glory of God has risen upon you and in you. Recall for a moment this morning where you were before God saved you, children of God. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And you would be still there today if He wouldn't have come. And if you cannot deny that He began, then get up, arise, and shine. When He started to lead you from sin to salvation, and when He brought you from fear to faith, arise and shine. Recall how you were dead once, and unwilling, and indifferent. And what is now? Yeah, you're not any more able, but you've been made willing. You've been made willing in the day of His power. Arise then. And shine, for the glory of God has risen upon you. He began, He will finish, He will fulfill. We got reasons, therefore, to shine, to smile, to be bright with the glory of the Lord that is risen upon us. refresh your own thinking this morning, children of God. He came in our darkness. He came into your indifference. He came into your formality. And if the work of grace began in you, He brought light and He brought hope when you sat in the darkness of conviction and in the despair of the grip of Babylon. And He broke the chains and He broke the despair and He grant you an eye outside of yourself on the glory of God and the Savior that came. Can you deny that this morning? And if not, then arise and shine, for the glory of God is risen upon you. So combined, these two words means be encouraged and rise up from being discouraged and shine and display the hope of what God has done when He came to the world, what God has done when He came in your life, and what God will do. That's what this chapter is about. Let's look a little closer at this Isaiah 60. There's much to discourage indeed, but there's far more to encourage. Now there is. I'm talking to myself, okay. But I'm also talking to you. There's much to discourage. Tell you. The day hasn't started. The new year hasn't started. And there is more this morning that I heard that has been discouraging. That comes out of the world. That comes out of us. And yet, I maintain my claim. There is this morning more to encourage than to be discouraged. Why is that? For the future of God's Zion belongs not to ministers, and not to elders, and not to believers, but to Jesus. Look at this chapter. Please, let's open it up for a moment. This is a magnificent picture in chapter 60. It's a prophecy about Jesus' kingdom. And indeed, it speaks of things that have not been seen in its fullest extent. This chapter speaks about things that did not happen between the Babylonian return and the coming of Jesus. That has never been seen. There have been in times of our church's history since Jesus' resurrection, indeed, periods of time when this is fulfilled. As the church grew from small to thousands to millions. As a small nation became a strong nation, he's speaking about the church. Yeah, every wave of revival is exhibited every wave of revival throughout the history of the world illustrates what is written in this chapter. Similarly as what you read in the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 8. And let me just pull him in for a moment. So you see that Isaiah is not the only one speaking this. And Zechariah is a post-Babylon preacher. What does he say in chapter 8? Verse 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come yet to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitant of one city shall go to another and say, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for you have heard that God is with you. Have 10 people ever taken hold of any of you? Children of God? And say, I want to go with you. I want to see what you have. I want to have what you have too. Why is that not? Ah, That should bring us on our knees. There's promises here in this chapter of multitudes converted to Jesus Christ. Multitudes, not an individual here and there. Multitudes shall come, this chapter says, of the true religion to partake in the worship of Christ. And you notice that the greater parts of these worshippers that Isaiah 60 speak about did not grow up in church pews. They're strangers. They're out there in the world today, or yesterday, or tomorrow. Let's look at the chapter. Open it up, please, to a few details of this. In verse 3, that's the language of assurance. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. That's the language of certainty. In chapter verse 4, be on the alert, be on the lookout. Lift up your eyes round about and see. Look at them. Oh, they gather themselves together. They come to thee. That's a different way of mission, isn't it? Instead of us going to them, it says God says they will come to thee, and they come. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And thou shalt see them, and they come flowing together like a river, and thine heart shall fear. Now that word fear means amazed. You will stand amazed. Amazed at what? At the abundance of the sea, the world, converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And God says, I will bring the rich, verse 6 and 7, of the nations, the great ones, they will come and they will join the church, the Christian church. And in verse 8, that's a question of the Jews themselves. Who are these that fly as a cloud and that are coming as doves to the windows? Congregation. Have you while Pan ever asked that? Where are these people coming from? Why are they coming to our church? We haven't, have we? And this question is not our question. We ask, Lord, why are they going away? Why are people so lax, even in coming? Even our own people, they can stay away on Sundays, part of the Sunday, or whole Sundays. We don't have no questions like this. We have an opposite. Will we ever share this amazement again? Will we ever see verse 10? That we have elders and deacons that are not growing up in our church? That will build the walls of Zion? And thy sons and the sons of thy strangers shall build up thy walls? And people that come from the outside, that come from the world, that have never grown up in here, and they will come and build and lead and take this church into a higher and deeper level? Wonderful. If God gets to work, that will take place. And their kings shall minister unto thee. Look at verse 13. He describes these strangers as stately trees, a fir tree, a pine tree, a Lebanon tree, and a box tree. And they will beautify the place of my sanctuary, and they'll make the place of my feet glorious. God describes in these trees that these men and these women and these people, these believers that will come, they will be like stately trees, maybe dwarfing the ones that used to be there. Yeah. Now, if you ever study the history of revivals, you'll see this fulfilled time and time again. I'm kind of in the middle of that, reading a book about revivals that took place in the 1853, 1854 in the United States of America. It's one of the most unknown revivals because it didn't bring all these extra preachers in like George Whitefield and so on. It was a revival of prayer and preaching of the local ministries that absolutely energized the nation we're living in. Yeah? And then it happens, what we see in this chapter. And in verse 18 to 22, you notice that the soul prophecy moves into eternity. It goes from time to eternity. It goes from the church militant to the church triumphant. There's still a lot of violence in the land, congregation. In what land? What does God mean here for the land? He means the church. There's violence in the church, yes. There's abuse, there's brokenness, there's anger, there's injustice. There'll no more be in a church triumphant. No more violence. No more wasting. No more destruction. All the walls shall be salvation and praise. Look at the beautiful description in this future of the new world. Oh God, what is that beautiful? I don't have to comment on what it says there. But it's all happiness, uninterrupted. No more tears, no more sorrows, no more sin. But we will sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. That all his people will be righteous. And we shall inherit the land, the branch of God's planting, the work of God's hands. I look forward to that. The new heaven and the new earth. God's last words this morning in this chapter. Our I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. God has his fullness of time to fulfill these prophecies. He's not on our agenda. He's not on our time frame. He has his fixed time. Usually, if you look at God's patterns of the past, usually that's when we hit rock bottom. That God gets to work to do these things. When we have run aground, and when all our experience and trials have failed, and all our efforts have come to nothing, and when the water has come to our lips, or we stand before the Red Sea with mountains and Egyptians behind us, that's God's timing. Usually that's always how it is, also in our personal life, in our congregational life, and in the nation's life, in the church life. But he did promise, I, the Lord, will hasten it. I want to end there this morning, congregation. That's God's promise. That's our pleading ground. That encouraged us to pray as we begin this new year. You know what to pray is? To pray is to bow your head and to open your Bible and to read God's own handwriting back to him. That's biblical praying. We have too many of our own words and our own ideas. Praying is to bow your head, open your scripture, and pray scripture, the promises of God. That is when the church has power. And that was the lament of the prophet in Isaiah 63. There is none that calleth upon thy name. There is none that taketh hold of thee, Lord. There is none that take hold of thy name to plead it before thee. That's our need today. Our need is to pray. As we wait for God's timing, we're waiting at his throne. So let us remind each other and let us call upon each other. We cannot relax. The warfare that is being waged in our nation, that is warfare is waged in our families, in our hearts, and about your children and my grandchildren and the future of these churches that we are part of is relentlessly going on. And if we could listen for a moment into the war councils of Satan, what do you think you're going to hear? as he plots and strategizes his plan in 2020, how to assault his enemy. And who's his enemy? God. And you. His people that are here present, that are united to Jesus by faith and repentance. What do you think he's saying in that war council as Satan and his demons plot together? Well, they talk about ways how to wreck the authority and the centrality of Scripture in your and my life and in the churches of this nation. He will come up with ideas to keep you out of the Scripture, keep you occupied, distracted. Let us try. If he can keep us out of the Bible, and he keeps on listening to God, got a huge advantage over us. If you could listen in, he's plotting how to divide churches. Because a divided church is a powerless church. He is able to sow discord over minor matters. He would blow them up in major matters if there are law and gospel issues. They have nothing to do with the law and the gospel. But he can blow them up. And he can divide us and upset us and stir us up about things that don't matter. And he laughs all the way back home to his hole when he sees that happen. He plans how to water down worship services where truth is preached, where your conscience is pricked. He loves it when the Word of God loses the edge in preaching and becomes a soothing description to tell you something nice, rather than the sharp sword of the Spirit pricking your conscience and dividing asunder between what is right and wrong in our heart. Now, be aware of it. Satan will do these things to plot his enemy and to fight his enemy. He will water down the services so they become man-pleasers instead of God-preachers. Or they become places where Christ is exalted to the highest and you and I are completely obliterated to nothing. He doesn't want that preaching. He wants preachers to please man and to soothe their feelings and to make them feel okay about what they are. Now listen in again. He's strategizing how to keep families from neglecting the Sabbath day command. You know what the Sabbath day command is? It's a summon for you and your families to appear before the sovereign God. You don't come to hear me. You come to hear God. You don't come to hear a reading service of an elder. You come to hear God. And this tendency also in our church, that we are staying away in the evening services too easily, day services when I'm not preaching, is Satan's strategy to destroy your spiritual life, your families. Church is not an optional event. It's no social event. It's the sacred meeting with God. And he does not like your homes as much as he likes this place. He prefers the gates of Zion above the dwellings of Jacob. This is Satan's strategy. And let him not give us this advantage. It is a strategy to decrease personal piety in our work, walk with God and others. It is a strategy to minimize repentance and to blow up outward appearance. It is a strategy to keep us comfortable in rituals and forms and shapes and traditions that are hollow and useless. And it is a strategy to keep us occupied with that while the world around us is dying, on their way to hell. And we do nothing. That's his strategy. Let's fight him. How? By recognizing his most important strategy. And what is that? Weekend prayer time. And I'm not speaking here about personal prayer time. I'm again making my case for united prayer time. united prayer time. I'm going to give you an assignment, congregation, to go study the Scripture on united prayer. And listen to our forefathers who have written and spoken about this. God's Word emphasizes personal and united prayer. Church history always confirms that personal and united prayer is connected inseparably with the dramatic workings of God in the lives of His church and world in time of revival. Yeah, what is a revival? A revival is a deeper and a fuller and a more abundant working of the Holy Ghost. Don't we need that? Don't you and I feel the need for that? Don't you feel the need that this world needs in Holy Spirit abundant workings? Don't you feel that on your heart? Can you just live on without that feeling? It is something wrong if we just live on without an agonizing, united, congregational prayer life. And I beg you, I plead with you to listen to the Word of God this morning, that He calls us arise and shine and let Thy glory be seen, also in united prayer. Congregation, it burdens me that there is so little lack, so little prayer. If we look at Isaiah 60, what an encouragement we have to plead with God and to ask Him, Lord, how long before we're going to see this, before we're going to see the working of Thy Spirit, to see this happening again in 2020? Shall we not let Him be at rest in 2020 with this particular promise of the chapter He has before us? And yes, we need encouragement. I was inspired again when I listened or looked at the missionary to India. After 10 years of totally fruitless labor, this man of God was summoned to return to Great Britain by his mission board. And they said to him, you know, you've worked there for 10 years. It's obvious that there is no work of God to be done in India. Come home. You know what the man wrote back? After 10 years of not a single convert on his preaching ministry, he said, brothers, the light in India, the sky is as bright as noonday with the promises of the Almighty God. Look not at the circumstances. Look at the promises. I long for revival. I have nearly finished my course of ministry among you, and this year it will end. And I am asking the Lord in these last months to see the best wine for the last. That He will not leave you without an abundant workings of the Holy Spirit to take you farther, deeper, and more abundant in the work of Christ. No, look not at the circumstances in 2020. Do not look at the waves and the wind. Let us keep our eyes on the Lord, who is bigger and mightier and stronger than men and than people and than congregations. With Him, we can face 2020. We can face a violent world. We can face a bewitching ungodliness. We can face a pastorless condition with Him. And therefore, brethren, Spurgeon writes, we shall never see much change for the better in our churches in general till the prayer meeting occupies an higher place of esteem among those who are called Christians. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 128 first. God is our refuge and strength, and helper ever near us. What a glorious confession this is in that song again, as we face this year. So all three verses of 128, let's stand together. I'm going to ask Elder Ross Dirksen for, instead of having a no-use message to me that I never really appreciate, I must have our elders do a no-use prayer for me with you in this morning hour. Before I give this over to him, I'd like to share with you again that Stephen Lee, the director of Sermon Audio, in a conference I just attended in New York, we have studied together the subject of prayer, indeed, united prayer. And he has indeed invited Christians around this nation, reformed as we are, to join in a weekly prayer meeting. Throughout this country, this is there today with hundreds of places around this country. And particularly to pray for the revival of the church in the United States as we face this critical moment in our history where worldliness and darkness and superstition and ignorance is on the rise in alarming ways. Will you not join us? We already started this prayer meeting almost for 2 years every Sunday morning. And it has been growing, but there's still many of God's children that are not coming. And that sometimes hurts us and burdens us. If you can, because of circumstance, you understand. But if you have health, if you have strength, will you not join us? No, you don't need to pray. You can pray along in your spirit. You can pray along carrying it up. But showing to God that we are willing to take a little extra time to pray together, is that not worth it? And I challenge you to think whether the cause of God's kingdom really weighs on your heart. May I, with these words, give it over to you, Ross, to ask us and to pray. Will you please also pray for safety in my journey today?
Let us bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, and we must right now come before Thee, most of all with thanksgiving. At the threshold of this new year, and being able to look back on the past year, Thou hast so graciously provided. Thou hast provided Thy Word. Thou hast provided the ministry of Thy Word in our midst. And oh, we especially thank Thee for all that Thou hast given unto our pastor, that Thy Word was faithfully expounded, Lord, that the depths and the riches, Lord, that it was set before us in a special way. Lord, Thy full counsel has been set before us. We have no reason to think that there's anything lacking, but Lord, that our hearts would be so united unto Thee now through all that Thou hast given, Thou hast graciously provided. Lord, we can be so concerned about the future now that we look forward to the new year. And there can be so many things that perplex us or worry us. But then, oh God, Thou give us the grace to wait on Thee, to lean on Thee, to depend on Thee, knowing that all things are in Thy hands. Though we know not how the church and the ministry may go forward, but yet we may depend on Thee, that Thou wilt sustain us, and that Thou wilt glorify Thyself in our midst. Lord, give us such an ability to arise in this matter, and yet that we would also shine, to shine in our community, to shine forth Thy Word and Thy testimony, that thy will would be so visible in each one of us, that people would be drawn unto Thee, to serve Thee and worship Thee, to seek after Thee, to repent and come to Thee in faith. Lord, we thank Thee for the blessings we have received and are so innumerable, but yet then we must be dependent on Thee in the future. We think of the traveling blessings that are needed now. Lord, graciously wilt Thou provide for pastor as he travels to New Zealand, and give traveling mercies to Erica, Lord, as she travels to Nepal. Lord, we must be dependent on Thee for these things, for it is only by Thy care and keeping that we are brought forward from moment to moment, day by day. Thou forgive us of our sins and give us all a heart that is full of love and adoration for Thee. Oh, for Thou art so worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing our doxology, yes, we normally do, but let's this time take the number 8 in the back of our Psalter. I think it's the tune of Psalter 222. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. You can rise, please. Receive now the blessing of the Most High, and let us go together in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.